Hi, this is Joe Taylor with On Faith's Edge. You're listening to a segment-only episode of On Faith's Edge with former atheist attorney turned Christian apologist Michael Minot. To hear the entire episode, go to onfaithsedge.com. Hello, Michael.
Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you? What's new in your world?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Colorado, too. We were thinking of taking a hike later this evening, so take advantage of the pleasant weather that's out here.
Well, let's get right in it, okay?
Yes, let's do it.
Here's the question of the day, as we set up last week, is generally, is hell real? Michael, recently there have been a few books from pretty well-known, prominent Christian pastors that question the concept of a real hell. So that brings me to my question for you today. Is that concept of a real hell, a hell that exists somewhere, as a real place? It's going to be a deep and tough subject, I know, but I think it's an important subject. So I'll put the question out to you like this. Do you believe in a literal hell as a place where we could spend eternity suffering if we are not somehow reconciled with God, specifically by accepting Jesus Christ?
There's no question in my mind in reading the scriptures that in many different places there are references to heaven, and there's also references to another place that we call hell. There's different names for it that's been given to it in the scriptures, but there are two places that are described, two separate places, and one's known as heaven and the other's known as hell. And so from a scriptural standpoint, if one was to believe the scriptures, then the scriptures describing them so distinctly and so literally that, yes, I do believe that there is a literal hell, just like I believe there's a literal heaven.
Not a conceptual place, or not a place that hell wouldn't be a place that is just the absence of being or whatever it might be. There is a literal place with that have entities there.
Yes, I'll say it this way: they are geographically different. They're not overlapping. There is a place, meaning that it has boundaries, and there are activities within this place called hell that is separate from, distinct from, not overlapping the activities in the place of heaven.
I see. Well, that brings me to the big question. Let me read you a couple verses, which frankly, Michael, are troubling to me. Well, they were troubling to me in my search for faith, and to many people looking at the Christian faith and the God of the Bible. Let me read from Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 45. Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. From Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 43, "If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Then let's roll further up into Revelation chapter 20. This is a little longer verse. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Those are some pretty frightful scenes, Michael. Eternal punishment, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You're better to go into life with one hand than having two hands to be sent into hell. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Here's my question. How in the world can we, as Christians, how can we reconcile that God is loving with the idea that he sends people to suffer in pagan in pain and agony in this way?
It's a great question, and it's one that people have wrestled with for a long time and possibly will continue to wrestle for a long time. But the Bible, I believe, describes that the whole concept of who we are and who God is, that it emanates out of God's love. It's described in the New Testament that God is love. And I think that's something that we have an impossibility of understanding as to all of its implications. So if God is love, then the entire setup of everything we see, both of who we are, but also everything that's in the physical world around us that God has set us up in, as well as the concept of the fact that he is not the only influence in our lives. The scriptures are not the only message that he gives us, but also there are counterfeit messengers that come in the form of Satan and his minions. And so this entire environment that we're in, how do we reconcile that as well as the concept of hell with God is a loving God? So understanding that is, I think, one of the challenges that we have in this life. But if, in fact, God is love, then all these other things must come from the concept that God is love and that he allows it and specifically has put it in place. It appears to me that relationships are such that they cannot be forced. Forced marriages that occur in certain parts of the world, even currently, but historically have occurred more frequently, I find it difficult to believe that on the first day that people meet, sometimes even on their marriage day in these arranged marriage situations, that there is a deep, abiding oneness and love. There may be a commitment and a respect and those kinds of concepts, but deep, abiding love that is highly emotional is something that takes place over time, as well as something that is voluntary. It's chosen. It's out of choice that we love. And so, moving back to your question, the concept of hell, how do we reconcile that with God being a loving God? Hell appears to be a place that is for those who reject God, those who would say, we understand God, that he offers us himself. He offers us to be with him forever. But we don't want that. That's not something we are going to choose out of our free will. We're going to choose something else. And God says that that is our prerogative. He gives us the freedom of choice by which to do that. So hell is another place for those who do not want to be in heaven with God. To be in heaven is to be with God and to be with him forever. And for those who choose not to, then there's another place for people who choose not to be with God.
Where did hell come from then? Did God create hell? Did God create this place for people that reject him? Or is the idea that God is love, and because God is love, if you're away from God, the absence of love is, the natural absence of love is hell? Or did God just create hell to punish people that didn't think the way he wanted them to think?
Well, I'm not sure that we know everything about hell, but here are some things that we can say about it. We can say that those in the angelic realm that have already rejected God, there was a mutiny of sorts at some point before the interaction between Satan and Adam and Eve in the garden. And so before that point, there was some rebellion, and as a result of that rebellion, a certain number of angels along with Satan were then cast out of heaven. And where were they cast to, and what is their ultimate place where they will be? And the ultimate place is this place that we're calling hell. And so part of the population of hell will be those that are tempting us currently. That's where they will be. And so hell is a geographical place. It's a place that is separate from heaven, and the underlying environment there may have been made by God, but that environment is also going to be made up of who is there. I mean, our environment here on earth We can change our environment when we move from place to place. We can change our environment based upon who we live with. And therefore, the concepts of what we experience every day can change. And so the people who are in hell, the entities, the angelic entities and the people that are there are going to make up part of the environment. So what happens there is going to be, in some part, the interaction of them with each other. And it's also the physical environment that they're in. It's, I believe it to be both.
I see. And the back up a little bit from what you said before about relationships and, you know, the love that we have grows as the relationship grows. Are you saying that because God loves us? I just want to make sure I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to understand, Michael. Because God loves us, he gives us the choice as to whether or not to love him.
That is what I'm saying. In fact, just to expand upon that briefly, God has made his choice. God has a choice as well. He had a choice in creating us. He had a choice in loving us, but he made that choice saying that he will never forsake us. He always loves us. The choice is up to us because God has made his. We can count on God. He doesn't change. And so when it takes at least two to create a relationship, two that agree to bind themselves together and honor each other and support each other and love each other, God has already done that. He holds his arms out to us relentlessly. And it's up to us. Are we going to throw our arms around him or not? By throwing our arms around him, we then have the opportunity to continue that great hug, so to speak, and continue on and on, increasing our understanding of God and the love that flows from him to us, and be able to then grow in that love. So to love is not a static or one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing that gets better over time. But the choice is made on an ongoing basis to do that. God has made his choice and doesn't ever relent from that. It's up to us what we're going to do with our side of that bargain, so to speak.
Any further thoughts, any further ideas on this concept of hell, Michael?
I think we've covered it, Joe.
I think we have too. Next week, our question will be, is Jesus Christ the exclusive way to eternal life in heaven? Will you be ready for us?
I'll be ready.
Great. Michael,
thank you, Joe.
Have a great week. God bless, brother.
You too.
Take care.
You.